Thank you. Welcome back to our study of John. We are in chapter 10 of John, and we've just finished reading verses 19 and 20 and talking about those, but we're going to go back and revisit those verses. I'm going to read them to you again. Again, a division took place among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, if you'll remember, we left off our discussion talking about the fact, that the Word of God divides. And we also talked about the fact that this still happens today. These accusations still occur today. If somebody is operating based on what they've heard from the Lord, or operating based on promptings of the Holy Spirit, there can still be accusations oftentimes, and we want to talk about that.
You know, the Holy Spirit's a real dividing line among people, especially when you talk about speaking in other languages, speaking in tongues. There's groups that say it's of the devil. They don't even know what they're saying. What you're saying is the Holy Spirit is the devil. Now, Jesus, when he was accused of casting out the devil by the prince of the devil, you know, Beelzebub, he said, "You're in danger of blasphemy." You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people today who are on the borderline. They speak against the Holy Spirit, and they don't know what to talk about. How can you teach me something you've never experienced? All you know is what you've been taught, and you pick and choose your scriptures out of the Bible. You don't take the whole Bible and study the Holy Spirit and teach against the Holy Spirit and teach against tongues. You know, well, you know, the Bible says that the tongues will pass away. It also says knowledge will. And I could say something there, but that'd be a smart aleck thing, okay? But anyway, the thing of it is, you have to understand that if you're going to live and pattern your life after Jesus, you go ahead and incorporate into that, "I will be ostracized in cases, I will be rejected, I will be talked about, I will be criticized." Comes with the territory. Jesus said it this way: if they did this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? The servant's not greater than the master. You follow me? And so I have found over the years that the Holy Spirit has been one of the biggest things, if not the biggest thing, that causes people to attribute the work of God to the devil. You understand? Well, the devil can speak in tongues. But the Lord, many years ago, the Lord just gave me this revelation. And I've used it a lot. There cannot be a counterfeit without a truth. You with me? What's counterfeit money? They're trying to make it look like real. Can the devil speak in tongues? Sure. Can the devil prophesy? Sure. Can the devil heal? Sure. Counterfeit. Counterfeit. But what's the genuine? And if you don't know the genuine, you're going to fall for the counterfeit. You understand, banks don't teach people to recognize counterfeit. They teach people to recognize truth. And if you know the truth, then when you hit the counterfeit, you'll know it's not right. Well, that's the way God wants us, to where we know the truth. And if you know the truth and something comes up that's counterfeiting or not matching that, you know immediately that's not God. You know it by the Spirit. You know it by the Word. You with me? And so don't let other people govern your lives and dictate who you are or what you do. You follow God and let the chips fall where they may. And when you get to the point that you're confident in who you are in Christ Jesus, what people say, care less. They lie about you, you know the truth. You don't vindicate yourself. Jesus didn't vindicate himself. You don't even vindicate yourself. You know, I had some pretty malicious lies been circulating about me, and the Lord said, keep your mouth shut. I'm saying, but God, it's not true. Keep your mouth shut. Don't counter it. How many of you know keeping your mouth shut's hard?
Mm.
Yeah. Some more than others, right? Mm. But here's the thing. You know who you are and be content in who you are, and then other people can't control your life. But if you can get me reacting, you're in control of me. But if what you say doesn't move me, he can't control me. What they said about Jesus never controlled him. You understand? And so we've got to get to the place to where we understand that there is a dividing line. Randy Travis sings a song, Which Way Will You Choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. By your choice, okay? And so don't think it's strange that when you stand for the Lord that you find yourself walking alone. People think you got the leprosy or something. They want to hold it on. Hey, you know, are you one of those? I've had people ask me, are you one of those? Now, if you ask me that today, I'm going to put your feet to the fire. One of what? What do you mean? My one of those what? Yeah, you speak in tongues, absolutely. You're not going to intimidate me on that. And I'm going to tell you, we've got to get to the point to where we're not intimidated by the devil. You understand? Be confident in who you are in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being arrogant or being egotistical. I'm talking about being content in who you are and not ashamed of who you are. I'm not ashamed of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not ashamed of praying in tongues. I do it every day of my life. But I won't entertain you with it. I have people say, you speak in tongues? Yeah, let me hear you. I say, play no stupid game with you. I'm not talking to you. When I speak in tongues, I'm talking to the Lord. It's none of your business. You understand? I'm speaking secrets, mysteries. You follow me? And I say increase. If Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. You with me? But in the church, I'd rather speak five words that you can understand than 10,000 you can't. You with me? So I find, for the most part, tongues between me and God. Now, there, you speak to God or you speak for God. If you speak for God, they have to be interpreted. If you're speaking to God, it's not nobody's business. But you're not doing that publicly. You're doing that quietly. If you're in public, you do it quietly. You don't even know how much I pray in tongues in here about your presence. You following? But if I stand up and give a message for God, there has to be an interpretation. Okay? And people go off on the deep end, and then you're the weird one. If you know, I grew up as you know, all my life in what they call the holy, well, I say all my life for 25 years in a holy roller church. I'm older than 25. but I grew up in what they call the holy roller church. And there was a stigma, especially as a teenager. You don't want nobody unless your heart sold out to God. Mine wasn't, so I didn't want anybody to know where I went to church. I didn't want the stigma of being identified with them. They're weird. Stay away from those people. You understand? Or they're crazy. You hear all kinds of things. And there was a lot of weird stuff went on. I mean, I'd be the first one to tell you that. Everything wasn't God. A lot of people want to act spiritual. And they're not spiritual, but they want you to think they're spiritual. And so they try to mimic things. You better know the counterfeit. You better know the truth. I've heard the devil prophesy. But I knew like that. It was the devil. You follow? Don't be afraid to take a stand for God. You're in a day, you're living in a time right now. It's not coming, it's here. Separation has already taken place. And you're seeing people that you thought were over here that are going over here. Why? They want to preserve the flesh. I'm going to tell you, preserve the spirit and identify with the Lord. If they call you full of the devil, then let them call you what they want to. You know you're full of the Spirit of God. Their father's the devil. I know who my father is. Okay? We could say so much to that. Huh?
Let's just say one other thing about recognizing truth versus counterfeit. You know that's done with our spirit, right? It's done with our hearts. It's not a matter of looking at the circumstances or using our natural reasoning, our natural gift to be able to see things or hear. So in other words, you can hear somebody prophesy, and if you take it at face value by just looking at the circumstance and you're not paying attention to the spirit inside of you, you may be deceived. And so that's what he's talking about as far as recognizing truth versus counterfeit.
I want to tell you something about that. I was in a church, not pastoring, attending the church, okay? I was working secular work. But I was in hot pursuit of the Lord, okay? And really spending time with the Lord. And practically every service, there would be some manifestation. Supposedly a prophecy or supposedly a tongue, an interpretation, whatever. And I never bore witness to it. It was almost like throwing ice water on you. When I started speaking, you think, that's not God.
Yeah.
And the people would just, the whole congregation would just be applauding that. And see, the devil will try to make you think you're the one that's out of order.
Yeah.
You understand? Now, I was sitting in a big conference. And first speaker got up, and I thought, it's not God. Second one got up, and I thought, that's not God. And I started asking myself, God, what's wrong with me? I'm not bearing witness to this. And all these people around me, they're really embracing this. What's wrong with me? And he didn't answer me. Third speaker got up. When the third speaker got up, the Spirit of the Lord just came on me. And then the Lord said I would bear witness to truth. I didn't tell you that I would tell you everything that's not true. I will bear witness to what is true. And so if you're not getting the witness to it, don't go there. Guard your heart. You with me? Guard your heart. You know, if a person speaking by the Spirit, or if they just speaking out of intellect or learn things or that type thing, or speaking from a wrong spirit. And so you see in Jeremiah, the prophets were prophesying. They knew what the people wanted to hear, and so they were prophesying what they want to hear. That's what's been going on here around us.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years, prophesying what people want to hear. God said they're prophesying out of their own heart. Now, prophecy is inspiration, okay? And so when somebody is speaking a prophecy, they're inspired. Well, Baal had prophets. You understand? But they're not inspired by a God. And people can tell you things and give you sob stories, and there's so many words been given to people just not from God, but they're wanting something good for the person, so they just start speaking something and God hasn't inspired it. Jesus always did what he heard or saw. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to start really closely examining things. Is God saying it? Is God saying this to me? Or is it just something that I'm trumping up in my own heart because I want this or I want that, or because I know a circumstance and I want to try to make that circumstance better? Then you're deceiving people. No, you speak by the inspiration of God. Don't be inspired by you. Don't be inspired by other people. And certainly don't be inspired by the devil. And you have to know the difference. When it's God, when it's the devil, when it's just people. And there's good people that, you know, they're trying and they're missing it because they've been taught wrong. I've been in prophecy conference to teach you how to prophesy. But you're talking about you not bearing witness to something. And then, you know, you have workshops all day. And they're teaching you how to do this. They teach you how to do this. You know, sit beside a person you don't know. And then think about how you would pray for that person. And then write it down. And then everywhere you have I would pray or I pray or this, then say I prophesy. Was that inspired by God? Of course not. But people are so gullible. They're falling for that stuff. And then this guy, you know, I can be testy sometimes. This guy, you know, the next service that night, whatever, he was calling people out and this and this. And I'm saying, oh, call me out. Let's see if you're real. Call me out. Of course he didn't. I don't know if my spirit was right in that anyway. You know, I had my back bowed a little bit. But there's so much deception out here that you must know truth. Heather and I were just talking a few minutes ago, and I said, you know, if Jesus were to come to earth today, just like he did in his physical ministry, most people today wouldn't be able to handle him. Because they couldn't appreciate the way he said things and the way he did. They didn't know the Spirit. That's why Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But most of them didn't have the spiritual ears to hear, so they rejected him. You know, we just talked about it in the 6th chapter of John. You gotta eat my flesh and drink my blood. Guy's out of his mind. They didn't hear what he's saying. And yet he's followed it up by saying, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. I'm not talking naturally. I'm talking spiritually. They couldn't hear it. And people today don't hear the Spirit of God. They're listening with natural ears, and they do not hear what the Spirit of God says in a church service. God's speaking. They don't know the voice of God. Okay.
Very good. All right, let's pick up, please, with verse 22 of chapter 10. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter.
That's what the people today, the Jews, call Hanukkah. Feast of dedication, okay.
Jesus was walking in the temple complex in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." "I did tell you and you didn't believe," Jesus answered them.
Now listen to this. He has just said, "I've come from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I've come out of the Father." They're hearing. "Tell us, if you're the Christ, tell." "I just did." And they didn't listen. Christ means anointed. "I just told you, and you wouldn't listen."
"The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me."
Now, here, listen to this. How many of you know nobody had ever done anything like the miracles and healings that Jesus did? They'd never heard of it. They'd never seen it. And so he says, "Look, if you don't believe me, believe the works. Just believe the works. Nobody else has done it. Right?"
Mm-hmm.
No. As a matter of fact, we can't deny a miracle's taking place. So we've got to kill the person that did the miracle. Same mindset still going on today.
He says, "I give them eternal life," speaking of his sheep, "and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Again, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him.
Now, they're identifying themselves right there as not sheep.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the voice. You mark this. People today who are opposing the things of God, and the Spirit of God, the Word of God, they're telling you, "I am not a sheep." Don't associate with them. You follow me? Don't associate with them. Separate yourselves. Come out from among the unclean, is what he tells us. But the church wants to hold hands, you know, the modern day church, not the body of Christ. But they want to hold hands with the world and try to hold on to God. That's not going to happen. Because the world's hostile to God. Never will the twain meet. You follow me? And so, that means you have to make a choice. Do I want you to like me? Or do I want God to like me? If I want God to like me and I pursue His friendship, it may cost me yours if you're of the world. It will. You understand? And so we have to make the choice. Who's more important to me? Where's my priority? And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people have gotten mad at me over this. I'm going to tell you that nothing, absolutely nothing, no one, no thing can come ahead of God. Family, friends, husband, wife, children, you name it. We want him to talk about the possessions that goes with it, okay? Nothing can be a priority over God. God has the right. He bought you. If you're born again, you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. So the master, if you've been bought, you're a slave. Right? So the master has the power, the authority, to make a demand on that slave day or night, any time. Now we'll see if Jesus is your master. or if you have time for this, I'm going to tell you, modern day pastors, it's like a 9-to-5 job. I mean, back when I was in an organization, you know, in the big conferences and all that, they would tell you not to answer your phone after 5 o'clock. You let it go to record and take your messages the next day during office hours. I thought, you idiots. Jesus was touchable. And you're saying, don't be touchable. And then they talk about, you know, separate yourself from your congregation. We were just talking about this a while ago. Listen, the shepherd sleeps out there with the sheep.
Yeah.
While shepherds watch their flock by night.
Mm-hmm.
They out there with them. They're feeling the elements. They're experiencing what the sheep were experiencing. You understand? Jesus walked with people. He rubbed shoulders with them. He was touchable. He was accessible. But today they want to put the separation. No. How can you really minister to me when you can't even relate to me? You know, you live in your palace and you drive your fancy cars and all this type thing, and here we are going to work and trying to do this and trying to do that, just making ends meet, as the old saying goes. You going to relate to me? You can't relate to me. I feel your pain. You don't even know my pain. You don't know my experiences. You don't know what I'm going through. And that's what happens when you try to separate. I'm going to tell you, in all the traveling, I live where they live. I eat what they eat. You understand? I had a fellow to tell me, so I'm not doing that. I've paid my dues. I'm going to go. I'm going to stay in a nice hotel now. How do you relate to the people? You with me? Jesus related to the people. The shepherd is there with the sheep. Okay? I mean, you could talk about this forever.
You could say, I want to say one other thing about this. Every single one of us in this room, every one of us in this room will have to make a decision where we're placed in the position where we're either going to choose to follow the Lord or we won't. That's not exclusive to a pastor or a leader of a church. Every one of us are going to come to that impasse where it's going to cost you something. And so here's the good news about this. The Spirit of the Lord is training us right now. His Holy Spirit has been training us. And we're learning His Word. And we're getting this Word on the inside of us. So when we are faced with the situation, it's going to be an easy decision because we know just who it is that we're following. It's an easy decision.
We'll go back to verse 30. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. Now let me ask you a question. Are you one with the Father? Jumping ahead of myself, but we're going to get to the 17th chapter of John when Jesus prayed, Father, that they may be one, even as you and I are one. And you have to start seeing yourself united with the Father. No, you're not Jesus, and you'll never be. But you have to see yourself one with them, with an assignment. It's like this body is one body. Would you agree with that? But in this body are many, many members. Each one has a strategic role to play. So my hand is one with my body. Every part of me is one with my body. And you've got to see that you're one with Jesus. That you're one with the Father. You're never alone. You can you can cry the blues all you want to, but if you're born again, you are not alone because God lives in you. And if Jesus is living in my heart and the Holy Spirit is in me, there's no way I can be alone. You follow me? But if you don't know that, you see yourself separated from God and trying to get God to come over here rather than realizing that God's in here. God lives in this house. Jesus lives in this house. But how aware are you of that? And I'll tell you, there's times that this house is rebelling, and I just say, Jesus, rise up and take authority over this house you're living in. And boy, does he ever. But you got to believe it. You follow me? You're one with him. Here and I are sharing this body. He bought it. He's letting me live in it. As a partner with him. So we're sharing the same house. You with me? One with him. The Father and I are one. You've got to get that on the inside of you. The Father and I are one. I'm not independent of the Father. The Father doesn't want to be independent of me. The Father wants me to work with him and let him work with me as a cooperative fellowship. He's not doing it for me. I'm not doing it for him. We're doing it together, a joint effort. Actually, if you look at the Greek for Holy Spirit, you know, the Parakletos, I heard this definition that really stuck with me. It's one who takes hold together with against. So if I wanted to move that podium, and I could say, Lord, help me move that podium. Lord says, okay. He gets on that side, and I'm just standing here. But why isn't that podium moving? Because I'm not doing my part. And that's what happens. So many people aren't doing their part. So I think God's not doing his. He's there. But then I'm not to take it and try to move it myself. We move it together. And when you flow with the Holy Spirit, man, things are so easy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're flowing with the Spirit, it takes the work out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, it's enjoyable working with the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I just wanted to talk about that one. Okay.
Very good. So verse 31, again the Jews picked up the rocks to stone him.
And they may want to do you when you say, the Father and I are one. Yeah. They accuse you of blasphemy and all this other stuff. Okay.
And Jesus replied, I have shown you many good works from the Father. Which of these works are you stoning me for? We aren't stoning you for a good work, the Jews answered. But for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God.
We don't care what you do, just don't identify with God. And that's the way people are today. Do all the good works you want to. Let's not get into this God thing and you saying that you're a child of God, you're a son of God. Well, I'm just saying what the Bible says. Beloved, now are you sons of God. So if God calls me a son, why shouldn't I call myself one? Don't let people intimidate you.
Jesus answered them, isn't it written in your scripture, I said, you are gods. If he called those whom the word of God came to gods, and the scripture cannot be broken.
That's in Psalm 82:6, if you want to look at it. Jesus is actually pulling that out of Psalm 82:6. But it's interesting how he says that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're gods. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I said. He didn't say the Father said. He's the Word. Isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And the Scripture can't be broken. So what's your problem? Go ahead. Keep reading.
Do you say you are blaspheming to the one the Father set apart and sent into the world because I said I am the Son of God?
In other words, if God called you God, and I say I'm a son of God, what's the problem? You want to stone me because I'm just agreeing with the Bible? At least I said son of God.
If okay. I'm not doing my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I'm doing them and you don't believe me, believe the works. This way you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Then they were trying again to seize him, yet he eluded their grasp.
His life's his to lay it down to take it up.
Yeah.
He's not laying it down. It's not time. Okay? So I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. Can you say that? You can if you have the revelation of the Father. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. We're one. Our time's running down.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get through the... Probably not.
Let's
just come back in verse 40 here.
Yes, sir.
In our next session. Okay.
Okay.
There's a ton of information in this. And you'll get in and you start reading it deliberately and paying attention. The Holy Spirit will reveal tons of stuff to you, okay? Indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend and enjoy your Labor Day. Labor.